We're starting a new series this morning, and it is entitled, A Giving Heart. Okay, that's the series title, A Giving Heart. And I want to read something, a gentleman by the name of Tim Hansel, from a book called Holy Sweat, which was back in 1987, but it's about trust. And I thought it was apropos, and I've got one more from my favorite Charles Spurgeon. So I got to, you know, I got to give you a little mixture, right? So one day, while my son Zach and I were in the country climbing around in some cliffs, I heard a voice from above me yell, "Hey, Dad, catch me!" I turned around to see Zach joyfully jumping off a rock straight at me. He had jumped in and then yelled, "Hey, Dad." I became an instant circus act, catching him, and we both fell to the ground. And for a moment after I caught him, I could hardly talk. And when I found my voice again, I gasped in exasperation, "Zach, can you give me one good reason why you did that?" And he responded with remarkable calmness, "Sure, because you're my dad." His whole assurance was based in the fact that his father was trustworthy. He could live life to the hilt because I could be trusted. Isn't this even more true for us as Christians? I got one more for you, kind of an interesting concept in terms of how we perceive people. Charles Spurgeon, who you know, one of the great orators of all time, pastor's pastor, just a great expositor of the word. Charles Spurgeon and his wife, according to a story in the Chaplin magazine, would sell but refuse to give away the eggs their chickens laid. Even close relatives were told, "You may have them if you pay for them." As a result, some people labeled the Spurgeons greedy and grasping. They accepted the criticisms without defending themselves, and only after Mrs. Spurgeon died was the full story revealed. All the profits from the sale of eggs went to support two elderly widows. And because the Spurgeons were unwilling to let their left hand know what the right hand was doing, they endured the attacks in silence. You know, all through life, we battle with this idea of trust. Who do we trust? And I want to share with you that before I even ask my normal Sunday morning question, just share that all Christians should know our treasures await us. And my hope and prayer for our time together this morning is that you will begin to give in a way that is selfless. So my question then, as we delve into our text this morning, what area of your life do you struggle with trust? Because it's a big question. Well, to find out, I want to invite you guys to open up your Bibles, and I hope you all have your Bibles this morning, and we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke. And we haven't been in the Gospels in a very long time, and I thought it apropos to go to Luke and to go to chapter 12, and we're going to cover verses 22 through 34. So let's read God's word, hear what he has to say to us this morning, and then we can start to unpack what it is all about and how we apply it in our lives today. Beginning in verse 22 of chapter 12, the Gospel of Luke, and he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom, no barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life's span? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you? You men of little faith. And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom first, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, and an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. And he finishes this passage and says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God's word today, it's September 10th, the year is 2017, and we're in the midst of some crazy natural stuff going on, right? But who do we trust? That is the question. And to this morning, we begin our series of Giving a Heart, and then today specifically in part one, we're going to learn just what God says. And he says this, and this is our title for today. I will take care of you. I will take care of you. So I'm going to read some stuff from Thomas Constable just and another gentleman just to kind of give you a little bit of background as opposed to me trying to paraphrase and do this. But interestingly enough, leading up to what we just read, Jesus had just given the parable of the rich fool, this covetous rich fool who says, hey, I've got so much grain and I've got so much stuff, but my barns aren't big enough. So what does he do? He tears down the barns and he builds these much bigger barns and he stores it all and he says, ah, my soul is good. I don't want for anything, right? I can eat, drink, and be merry. And God says to him, so sorry, but that is not going to be what happens. I'm taking you out right now. And all that stuff that you stored up for yourself that's sitting in this barn, who's it going to go to? You can't save more than you can take. Okay? We're all going the same place, and none of us are taking anything with us. Bottom line, right? So here's in this pericope, and as it continues, the subject of life and possessions is what we've been taught, what he was talking about throughout this passage. And what Jesus implied in the parable of the rich fool, he explicitly taught in the verses that we just read. His disciples should not think or act as the pagan world typified by the rich fool. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. That's how it goes today. Right? So he says, from emphasis on greed and selfishness, Jesus moved to worry, which is definitely related. Don't worry. Right? And we're going to talk about that this morning. And then a gentleman by the name of Daryl Bach wrote in the gospel, in his commentary on Luke, in the NIV application commentary, he said this: the flip side of not hoarding possessions and caring for oneself involves how a person will watch out for life's necessities. So this unit takes up that very question. I've got 3 points this morning, pretty simple. And we're gonna move through them, and we're going to have a special time at the end of our service this morning. First point is that there are two warnings, and that's going to cover verses 22 and 23. Our second point are the two rules, which will cover 24 through 31. And thirdly, the two promises, which will cover verses 32 through 34. You know, we just have issues with trust. And we worry. And we're anxious. And, I have watched people over the last couple of weeks. And I'll say this to you. Sunday night, when the storm was hitting, and Miss Nancy was gracious enough to be able to get here somehow, get the church open, gave the keys to Kathy, and I get a call, and all of this is happening, I get a call from Fire Chief Josh Kennedy. Thank you. I was having a moment there. Thank you, Edna. But I get a call, and he says, hey, Pastor, can we use? I said, of course you could use the church. And I get up here, I said, am I going to be able to get through? He goes, no, you're not, but I'll tell you what. I'll send a military vehicle for you. So I parked before I got to the bridge. They send them out for me. I climb up into this monstrosity of a vehicle, right? And he brings me in, and we moved over 400 people between Sunday and Monday to shelters. My point behind all of this is, who were these people trusting? Because we have a tendency to trust ourselves instead of trusting God. Where was the worry? There was so much worry on these faces. It's, you know what? We lost stuff. We can replace stuff. You cannot replace the time that you have on this earth. And so it's better to take care of you and take care of those around you than worry about some stuff. But the anxiousness, people standing there, oh, and they're trying to grab all these things that really don't mean anything. And so there are two warnings that we're going to talk about this morning in the first part of where we are. And he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry. I stopped there for one specific reason. Because he's giving them an imperative. And the way that he does it, and I wrote it down so that I would not forget, but of course I can't find it where I wrote it. But he writes that stop as and it's an action that is in progress. Stop. He says stop. Stop thinking. Stop doing. Stop. Right? Do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For what? For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Is he talking about your life here on earth? No, he's talking about your life that is all eternal when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's that. Listen, don't worry about the food that you eat. Material things have no bearing to heavenly things. They have no bearing. And I say this to people who are sitting in this sanctuary this morning who have lost everything. Everything. Their homes, their clothes, their cars, everything that they held dear as a possession is gone. And God sits there and he says, don't worry about it. Well, don't worry about it. You know why? Because I got your back. I got your back. You don't have to worry about material things. The things that we have to focus in on are those that are above, not those that are here. Where am I storing up my treasure? Where is my heart? What am I really thinking about as we move forward and I go back to my house and I've got 4 feet of drywall ripped out, I've got no carpet on the floor, my entire life is sitting on the front lawn, And I've got to put signs up that says, if you loot, I will shoot. God has a different perspective on what that all looks like. Jesus teaches priorities with possessions that challenge his followers' lifestyle. Think about that. Maybe we are getting a lesson. Maybe we have just become so full of what we have to have as opposed to what God sees fit as a need. I'm guilty. Susan and I are guilty of that. I got stuff that I want. I don't have to have it, but I want it. And it's just a matter of time before God just rips the rug right out from underneath and takes it and says, okay, I'm going to strip you down, and I'm going to say, this is what you need. Now let me see you work with me through that. People who are not believers, they're wallowing in their misery over the loss of stuff. We've got a king, a father in heaven, who says, you don't have to worry about that. I have your back. Don't worry about the clothes that you need to wear. And what does he say in verse 23? Summers of Fort, life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Yeah, we need sustenance. I get all of that. Has anybody here suffered not having a meal over the last couple of weeks? No matter what your circumstances, you saw. Look at how many people have gone into this community specifically and has been bringing meals, hot meals. We had the VFW here Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Pulled pork. We had. I ate better over that weekend than I've eaten in I can't tell you how long. And people are just sitting with masks on their face, dripping wet from sweat because they're tearing their, quote-unquote, their life apart. And here come the rest of us, because we had nothing else to do, right? But what? To be the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The donations come pouring in. We're getting calls. We've got a hallway full of clothes. We've got a room filled with non-perishable foods, diapers, cleaning supplies, sheets. We gave beds away. We gave mattresses away. Why? Because what? Because we're being the hands and feet of Jesus the Christ. To those who are believers, we understand that walk. To those that are sitting, and I know people who haven't even been able to get back into their places because of where they live on the west side, they haven't even gotten back in. So for them, it's a total loss. And they're not believers. And they're reeling like their life is over. Life's not over. Are you breathing? Yeah. Were you able to get to and from where you needed to go? Yeah. We can rebuild the stuff. You cannot rebuild your life in Christ. You either know him or you don't know him. There's no lukewarm kind of stuff going on. And so he talks about this. Life is way more than food or clothing. Here's the interesting thing. If you go to Romans 8:17, and I'll go there right now just because I can. But Romans 8:17, and I know Linda has it up on the board before I get there. And so I'm just so thankful for that. But Romans is in the Bible, right? Yes, okay. Just making sure. Y'all with me? All right, Romans 8:17. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. We suffer with him. His word tells us that we will suffer. Everything is not peachy keen. Okay? It's just not. But what he says is that we are heirs to the throne. So I might have a little bit of a difficult time here right now, but I'm not worried about, you know, the 120 years that I might have on this earth. Just saying. Look, he might take me home before this sermon ends. The fact of the matter is, it's not the time that I have on this earth. It's the time that I'm going to have with my Lord and my Savior. Susan and I were talking the other day. I said, look, we got a good 50, 60 years left, you know? I'm only 19. I think that's pretty fair. So, all of that said, so the two warnings, don't worry and don't worry again. Stop worrying about stuff you can't control. Know that the things that are in control are the things that the Holy Spirit moves in and through each and every one of you. That's the control. That's the beauty. It's not about me. It's always been about Him. It'll always be about Him if we would just listen without listening to respond. You hear what I'm saying? My wife and I have this conversation on a fairly regular basis. I have a tendency to listen to respond. I'm anticipating. And so I'm already responding before you finished what it is that you're saying. Susan lives in a world where her whole job is about listening. Not responding, just listen. And it is an action. So listen to what God has. Listen to what He is doing in and through you. And then respond by moving at His direction. Don't worry. We're going to lose our clothes. We're going to have times when we got to struggle about eating. I mean, it's just a reality. It doesn't change how He feels about us. In our second point, in verses 24 through 31, consider the ravens. This is kind of interesting to me. And he talks about, you know, why should we worry about food or clothes? And he goes into this whole idea about the birds, okay? And at first glance, you don't really think about the fact that he chose a raven. How many of us know what a raven really is? They're not a nice bird, okay? They're almost on the line of a vulture kind of, you know, look, they're scavengers. They're an ugly, vicious, not a nice bird, right? The raven. You ever read Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven? All right, so, and then he says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They don't do anything. There's no cause. But what does he do? He still feeds them. He still takes care of them. Don't you think you're more important? Since what? As believers in Christ, what does God say? We have been made in the image of God. And as a believer, we have the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, indwelling us. You don't think He's going to take care of us? Don't you think? Yeah, we're going to have some tough issues. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom, no barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are to Him. He takes care of the ravens, which are scavengers. He's going to take care of us, folks. He always does. Listen, we're in a tough place right now, but think about it. Are we not taking care of one another? Is He not using you to take care of somebody else? When I look at what, I just happen to glance and I look at Kathy, but look at what Kathy has done, because she's a social media junkie just like I am. And so I look on to Facebook and what do I see? I see her reaching out because there's a whole area in Greens Point that nobody was going to and nobody was caring about, and she took it upon herself by allowing the Holy Spirit to work through her. She doesn't have resources. She doesn't have any money to do anything. But what? She got a couple of people together and figured out a way to move a truckload of stuff over into that area to a church that was willing to accept that stuff and distribute it into the community. That is being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. That's how God takes care of us. That's how he has our back. He sees us as more important. You know? In verses 25 and 26, he says, "And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters?" There's nothing to worry about. Stop worrying. All it does is make you sick. It churns your stomach. It gives you anxiety. It makes you fight with the people that you love most. Stop worrying about things you don't have control over and put your trust and your hope in the one who controls everything. I mean, that's where we're at. Listen to what it says as God sees us as more important in verse 29 through 31. He says, "And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. And if he knows that you need these things, he's going to provide them to you." Listen, verse 31, "But seek his kingdom first." In Matthew 6:33, what does it say? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Then everything else will be given unto you. But if we are not seeking the kingdom of God, what are we expecting? What are we expecting? God says to us, "But seek his kingdom and these things will be added unto you." He's got our back. Two rules, baby. He's got our back. You don't have to worry about suffering. Stop looking around and worrying so much. In verses 27 and 28, this is kind of interesting. He talks about the lilies of the field, how beautiful the lilies of the field are. And he equates it to Solomon. And who was Solomon? Solomon was the greatest king that ever walked, right? Even greater than his father David, he was the richest. He was the smartest. He adorned on himself the most beautiful clothes that anybody could ever imagine. And what does he say in verses 27 and 26? "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these." That's how beautiful the picture is that Jesus is painting about the lilies. And yet, what do? We pull those lilies, throw them into the fire, because we need a little bit of something, something. As beautiful as those lilies are, you don't think that your God in heaven thinks you're more important? That those lilies might burn up just like that? But not you. He's got a purpose and he's got a plan for each and every one of you. That is what I'm talking about. That is the God that we serve. That is our Lord Jesus, the Christ. They are robed greater than Solomon. And I tell you this, you want to take a note. We're more important than the flowers. We're more important than the flowers. I know you're out of your minds right now because I'm at my last point for the morning. And so I can keep talking. Make sure that we get to 12 o'clock. But in our first Sunday in this new series, what is most important for me to get across to each and every one of you is that we serve a God who will take care of you, no matter what the circumstance might be. You don't have to worry. He promises us. As we look at our last point, if God gives you the kingdom, how much more will he also supply your needs? If God gives you the kingdom, how much more will he also supply your needs. Listen, in verses 32 through 34, this is really the crux of this whole passage. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves a money belt that does not wear out. Start to store your treasures up in heaven. Money belts wear out. I don't have my wallet on me, but, you know, the last time Susan, she goes, it's about time you got a new wallet. How many of you ever watched the show Seinfeld? So, you know, George in Seinfeld had a wallet, okay? It was about yay wide. And he would open that up, and he would start to look through that wallet. And they'd look at him, I got everything I need right here. And he'd open it. Okay, that's pretty much my wallet. And just that's why I don't wear it when I'm up here, because it kind of weighs me down a little bit. It's probably why I'm having back problems. There's no money in it, but I got stuff that's important. Very, very important stuff. Listen, don't be afraid here, because God has given us the kingdom. We're in a difficult place as a community. We're in a difficult place as a church. Okay? Financially, we're not where we need to be. Members-wise, we're not where we need to be. As a community, we are reeling from the third flood in 18 months and having to rebuild. I think I shared with you last week, I spoke to a lady. She made her final payment for fixing the house in June of this year, and just got another 6 feet of water, whatever the heck it was, in her house, and she's done. I said, but if you trust in the Lord, he will build it back. You know, just because something bad happens doesn't mean you got to run away. Government's going to do something. Why? Because God is going to deem it necessary for them to do something. Don't trust in me. Don't trust in this world. Trust in knowing that God in heaven understands what we need, and he will provide it. Always. We're a poor church. We struggle in every area to make things happen. And yet, somehow, some way, God always finds it to work through the crazy road that we're on to make sure we get done what we need to get done. Why? Because we're faithful in our love for him. We're faithful as a body of believers to take care of one another. God told us in his word that the greatest commandment of all is to love your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, everything you've got, all niched together. But he says this one other thing. Love your neighbor. And when I look at this community, I see how we love one another. And God honors that love. He honors what that is. He knows what we need. He understands the path that we're on. It might not be what we want and necessarily what we think we're going to see, but he knows what we need, and he gives it to us. Listen, he says, and I say this, give. When you don't think you can give, that's the best time to give. I don't want to sound silly. I never preach about, I think in the 2.5 years that Susan and I have been a part of this body of believers. I don't think one time I have done a series on tithing. I trust the Lord to provide in everything that we do. But I'm telling you here today, when you don't have something to give is the best time to give. And I'm not talking about money, folks. I'm talking about giving yourself over to Christ. I'm talking about giving of yourself to the rest of the body of believers. How can we help and encourage and build one another up? That's what I'm talking about. That's giving. He says, give your possessions away. Give them to charity. People who brought things in to this church didn't have anything to give away. And they found a way to give so that somebody who had nothing would have something. That's what Jesus Christ is all about. He gave us his life so that we could live. He walked amongst us sinless and became sin for us, so that when we came to a deciding moment to believe in Jesus Christ, he would do what? He would see us as righteous. The dirty, low-life nothings that we really are, he sees us perfect. He loves us and brought us into the family. So when he says to me, in verses 33 and 34, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, and unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I don't do anything for me. I do it all for the Lord. That's the mindset. I struggle with it every day. I'm flesh and blood. I get it, okay? I don't do things perfect. There was only one who was perfect. I make mistakes every day. I don't talk to people the way I should talk to people all the time. I had that conversation with Susan and Kirk this morning in my office, right? Because I was listening to respond instead of listening to what they had to say. I'm guilty. What God says is stop thinking from that perspective and think as it relates to what God would have you do at all times. He talks about this belt that a thief or moth cannot steal and destroy. Thief comes in the night. He's going to steal your stuff. There are going to be looters on the street that are going to take stuff that's on the curb. It just is what it is. If we have stored our treasures up in heaven, he cannot take anything from us that's worth anything, because he has our heart, and that's all we need to give. Your treasure is where your heart is. Each one of us goes through periods when we don't know who to trust. As children, we trusted our dads to catch us, right? I even remember doing that as a kid. Why don't we trust our Father in heaven in the same way? His word tells us that he will take care of us. He will give us all we need. And if you have never trusted the giver of all things, the one who promises to take care of you, then, guys, I want to invite you today, to cast aside your materialistic mentality and trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Russ and Jack are going to come up. I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're going to pray. We're only going to pass one plate today. And I'm going to share something with you that's a little bit different. Because we serve a God who knows what we need. And as a church, we were blessed. And I want to ask you to stand on your feet with me as we begin to pray. God has blessed us beyond measure. And I'm putting this money into this offering plate. And we're going to pray. And as this plate is passed, if you are in need, I want you to feel so blessed to take what you need. If you feel that you can put into this plate, then I want you to put into this plate. I'm going to ask Kyle and Brother Harlan to come down here. We're only going to pass this one plate, and I want you to understand that this is about our needs. It is not about our wants, but it is about what God is doing in this place. And when we have nothing, God always finds a way to provide. On Monday, we received a shipment of goods from a church, Houston Northwest Baptist Church, who I've talked about. And the gentleman who brought those goods over here, he and I started to have a conversation. And he wanted to know about our church. And during that conversation, he went into his wallet. He took all the cash out that he had in his wallet. And he said, I want you to put that money in the plate. And whoever is in need, have them take what they need. And so as we pass this plate, I want you to feel so inclined to put in, to take out, whatever it is that you need. Cash. I say that because some people might have given their tithes and a check. If there's cash in here and you feel, and I also want to make it very clear that unless you're 21 years of age or older, you're not to touch the plate, not this morning. Everybody is welcome to put something in. But the adults who are hurting, the adults who are in need, I want to encourage you to take. Do not be embarrassed. This is between you and God and your family and what it needs. This is something that God has laid on this church. And it is our blessing to be able to do this. This is the church that you're a part of, folks, that God has called each and every one of us to. Let me pray. Father God, right now, you have shown us who you are. We have talked about this idea of not worrying, not being anxious, but that if we seek first the kingdom, all that you have given in that kingdom will be given unto us. And Father, this morning I pray over our offering. And I ask God that you will multiply what is here. I pray that for those that are in need, that they will feel comfortable and at ease to take what they need. God, you are a God who loves us, who provides for us. You are a God who has our back. We love you. We praise you. We praise you for loving us so much that you gave us your only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. What a blessing it is for this small body of believers to be able to give back to those who are in need. This is what God has called us to do. This is what it is to be a church. This is what it is to be led by the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That we shouldn't worry, that we should give all of our possessions to charity and watch how God moves in and through this body of believers. Father God, how we love you. Father God, how we praise your holy name. Father God, how I ask right now that if there is one standing amongst us who does not know you personally, that today might be their day of salvation, that they might turn from a life that is separated from you, that they might turn from a life that is designated to go in a place that would never reach where you are, that they would turn and listen to what it is that your word has for them, that they might confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that it is Jesus Christ who is Lord of all, Lord of lords, King of kings. That is my King. His name is Jesus the Christ. I pray for each person here this morning. I ask, Lord, that you would wrap your arms around them, that you would love them in such a way that they might see the light of the world, that they too might go from this place and they too might be a light amidst a very dark and unsettling place. Lord, I pray for our community. I pray for Timber Lakes, Timber Ridge, and those who are hurting and suffering. I pray for the community of Grogan's Point across the street, who they too have lost so much. I pray for our friends and family in Florida who are experiencing what we did just 2 weeks ago, right at this moment, with total devastation. And I pray that they, as we will, rally with them, because God, you have placed it in our hearts to be the movers and shakers that you have called us to be, not for ourselves, but for the kingdom of heaven. That our treasures would not be stored up in some storehouse, but that our treasures would be stored up in heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's in your precious name that we pray. Everybody said, amen. As you pass.